Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm Chris Stuchko, co-host of the Ninth Grade Experience Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I am joined by two guests today, Lindsay and Betsy, and they are going to talk about co-teaching in the music room. I got to sit in their session at the Arkansas Music Educators Conference, and it was really cool to see them literally implement co-teaching even in a session that they presented together. So with that said, we're just going to start off by having you both introduce yourself to the listeners, and then we'll get going.
Awesome. My name is Lindsay Mullins. This is my 14th year teaching, which I get wrong every time I say it. I had to count it again. Betsy and I teach at a school in Memphis across the street from the zoo, little fun fact, called Snowden. And we have been teaching together for 6 years now. So our fifth graders are our babies.
Aww. Yes, that was such a great milestone. I'm Betsy Carter, and I am in my 16th year teaching in Memphis Shelby County Schools, and six of those with Lindsay.
That's awesome. Well, yay. So I am very intrigued by this conversation because, as you both are aware, usually it's one music teacher per building per elementary school, maybe two. I think about my student teaching experience, and there were two elementary music teachers, but one taught lower and one taught upper. But the co-teaching part of it, I don't see that very often. And so I am so excited to have this conversation. And yeah, so let's just go ahead and dive right in. And so I would love, first of all, can you guys talk to our listeners about what has worked well with co-teaching?
Oh, sorry. Everything.
I mean, it's so cool to have another person who is focused on the same goals and the same growth as you are. We're really lucky in that some of our classes are double classes and some of our classes are single classes, but our admin lets us still co-teach for the whole schedule. So we really see it as our program and growing our students together.
Yeah. And I also, like, I kind of used to be offended when the kids would be like, hey, Miss Music Teacher. But honestly, that is what Betsy and I have strived to create, is our program is the music program. It is not, I have Miss Mullins, I have Miss Carter for music. It is, I have music. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that that is the atmosphere we have created. You know, and music and Miss Music and Miss Mullins are close enough, but it is nice to have that. I'll also say, like, Betsy and I, we've known each other for a long time. We took some of our ORF levels together, and it really does matter who you co-teach with. I mean, Betsy is one of my best and closest friends, but we've also had, like, it's been a lot of push and pull too for a while, hard conversations and things we've had to talk about to make sure that we're both on the right track. But Betsy always keeps me grounded and goal oriented. And I can't promise you I would be where I am without her, honestly, yeah. professionally or personally.
I want to get into the growing pains a little bit. Before I do that, one thing I want to ask is, how did the co-teaching start at your school? I'm just very curious about that. So can you guys touch on that a little bit?
So when I started at Snowden, I was on a cart. I started in the middle of the year, and there was another full-time teacher there. My position was created because the school grew so much that they actually had a traveling person there 4 days a week, instead of just two full-time teachers. So I came in mid-year, actually, and I was in a cart while the other teacher was in the room. Talk about growing pains when that's happening. Like, you know, you're like, wow, you know. But she had seniority, and that's, you know, how it was. And then they were moving us into the building from a portable. We were in a portable, and my co-teacher was on maternity leave. And so I was moving all our stuff over, and I was like, you know what? This room is a really big room. And I kind of coaxed my co-teacher then. We weren't really co-teaching, but to co-teach. And then ever since we just kind of squished into this. I say squished. Our room is really large. We haven't really had to squish anything, but we've kind of developed this co-teaching atmosphere. We've tried, and we tried different ways of doing it, which we can get into. But that's kind of how I just kind of advocated for, hey, I want to get off a cart. So let's make this work. So we really only have one available room for the for music. Our room is, our building is, it's full. So out of necessity, pretty much, is how it started.
That's awesome. Well, that is one of my other questions, is a music teacher who's interested in this co-teaching aspect, and maybe they do have more than one music teacher at their school. We've talked about advocating for it. So how, I know one of the conversations, you guys too, like when you're talking to new music teachers, or maybe not even just new music teachers, but it's the, how do I ask my admin for insert the blank? And it sometimes is a little bit like, it's intimidating, or you're nervous about bringing up a conversation. So what steps would you say someone could take, or some conversation starters for a music teacher interested in bringing this conversation up?
I think the biggest piece and what keeps our admin on board with it is equity, because every teacher has different strengths and every teacher brings different things to the table. If you share the teaching load, your students are getting the same, no matter who they have this year, next year. You know, it's not like you track. If you teach, if you co-teach two teachers in separate rooms in the building, it's not like you teach the same children from K to five or K to six, depending on your setup. So if the students pop back and forth, there are going to be gaps here because, well, I do it in this order and you do it in that order, or we focus here and you focus, you know, we play to our strengths. With two teachers co-teaching, you can play to your strengths. You can learn from your partner's strengths. You can build something much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. So I want to go back to talking about growing pains that you've experienced, because I know that you guys work really well together, but having two different teaching styles and different ways of presenting ideas to students, et cetera, what growing pains have you experienced, and how have you gotten through those?
I think, like, we do work really well together now, but I don't want to bypass the work that we have both had to put in to become co-teachers who teach well together. You know, I don't even remember specifics, but there have been times where it's like, hey, we need to talk about this. Like, hey, I feel like I'm not carrying enough of the load this week. Or, hey, and those are hard conversations, especially with someone who is a close friend. I'm not a very confrontational person, so I don't like doing that. I could advocate for music ed all day. I can advocate for just about anything except for myself sometimes. But, you know, like, it's just awkward. I don't know, Betsy, you can chime in.
I think we're both the type of person who wants to do everything. Yeah. And so finding that balance of like, but I want to teach that, wait, no, it's my turn. We tried splitting the class in half time-wise. We tried alternating. It took a long time to get to the point where we really could feel the balance and trust the other one to step in. I was teaching this, but today I have to deal with this. So Lindsay will jump in, or vice versa. Something came up. Can you do this part of the lesson? Did you see it enough times? Do you have any questions? And to know it's going to be taught really well, you know, to hand it over, to hand over something you care about is hard.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. The mind shift from, I want to be the one to share this with the kids, to, I'm so excited my kids get this no matter who does it, takes time, and it is hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard, like she said, to let go. I mean, I know she watches me teach some of the lessons she's even created, you know, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this today because I'm for this reason, this reason, this reason. And I think finally now we're to the point where we've both like let go of the, I want to do it, I want to do it, to, I'm so glad the kids get this lesson.
Yeah, that's good. No, you're helping my mindset. Before we started recording, I was having a conversation about certain colleagues I worked with and working with now at a new school. And just the fact that you're helping my mindset around this. And one thing I took away was it takes time and patience and learning personalities, because you're, you know, whether it's two music teachers or you're working with an art teacher, drama teacher, whatever it might be, you're going to all have different ways of doing things. And of course, if you're teaching art and music, it's two different subjects, but you know, but you're going to collaborate in some way or another throughout the school year. And so, Lindsay, I relate to you a lot where I'm non-confrontational, and it's very hard for me sometimes to, I don't want to step on toes, and I don't want to offend, and I don't want, you know, people pleaser 101. And, but sometimes you notice when those conversations happen, then things move forward better than if you're just kind of skirting around. I don't want to say, well, I guess they are issues, but not really, but things that need to be talked about. So have you guys noticed that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, things can fester, and then you build up resentment and this harsh, like, put a wall up, and it's not even their fault anymore because you haven't even told them what you're upset about, and so nothing can be fixed or changed.
Yeah.
But I think that's any relationship, to be honest. But it, with a co-teaching situation, I mean, we talk, like, we're work wives. Like, we are together more than we are with our own families, you know, in the same room, with the same people, et cetera, et cetera. So things fester if you don't get it out there. Mm-hmm. I would say that's one thing Betsy has taught me is to speak more. Betsy will always joke. She's like, if I care about it, you'll know. And so I'm like, hey, is this okay for the bulletin board? And she's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, no, I want you to know if it's okay. And you're like, if it wasn't okay, you would know. I was like, and then there are times when I know it's not okay.
That's awesome. So you would say you're the opposite, Betsy. You're, I want to say confrontational, but you're like, I will let you know if I don't like XYZ or something like that. Yeah.
Well, to me, there's a whole wide expanse that doesn't matter. And so anything can happen in that space, but there's one or two things where I'm like, nope.
And that's okay.
There you go. And it's not that I have to have my way on that, but I have to explain. I have to at least explain it so we can figure out our common ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So in your classroom, you've already touched on, it's a large space. So you guys have both kind of touched on this, but I would love to hear about maybe lessons that have worked well, or you said we've tried different things and it didn't go well, but this did. So just give us ideas of lessons that have worked, or classroom setup, or anything else you want to share around that.
The setup is something we've played with over and over. We've flipped the room just about every way I can think of to flip it. And we've really come up with something I love right now. I hope I love it long term, where we've set up our instruments so that if one of us is teaching, the other one is able to get into, we have little aisles where the other one can sneak in and help. You were going to say something, Lindsay? No. Okay. You know, we've kind of facilitated, it's easy in our current setup for both of us to be in the front, one to be on the side, one to be in with the students, or our workspace, instead of leaving it in our separate office, we've moved our workspace out kind of to a side that's tucked in the corner, and one of us can actually be working at the table and come out to be with the students. So we don't have to necessarily both be up front or both be in any one particular place. There's a lot of ways for us to be, to engage, to be eyes on the side, to be part of the class.
Mm-hmm. It's very productive. We get a lot done, especially since we share the mental load, right? Music teachers carry a huge mental load. Mm-hmm. All the lyrics for songs, the hand motions, the dances, what props are needed, the instrument parts, et cetera, but we are able to share the mental load. So, you know, when one of us taps out, the other one's like, yeah, I'm right here. Yeah. You know, or honestly, when something personal happens, I'm like, hey, I just got a phone call. I need to shake it off real fast. And mm-hmm. she's like, I got you. Just go sit in the office and I got you. And she'll cover for me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, we both have very unique personal lives as well with our families and children, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been really nice to have someone there for that. I will say last week we actually had two parachutes going in our room because we have two teachers. And so that way every kid gets to have the turn, right? We don't have to have a sitting and watching turn while the other kids do it. We get to have all of them go at the same time. So our time management has really been impacted in a positive way because there are two adults, you know. Betsy will pre-teach something on the xylophones, and as they're moving, I might sing a song while they're transitioning, while she's helping set up instruments, so that way that they're ready for the next song, and et cetera, et cetera. So like, we kind of, talking about growing pains, it took a long time to kind of feed off of each other, and in the beginning, it did feel like stepping on toes, you know. It did feel like, hey, this is my part of the lesson, you know. But now we're just so like, who cares? You say what you're saying, you know. And
yeah,
it does take time though. So like, the first 1, 2, even 3 years are going to be a challenge. You just have to think of it as how much more the children are going to benefit from having two professionals working with them and growing your program, and stop thinking of the benefit of your own ego, which mm-hmm. is hard. I tell people all the time, like, musicians are trained to compete. Mm-hmm. We go to college to compete. We want to be the best. You want to be the first chair. You want to make, and then when you become a teacher, you still want to compete. It is like, why?
Yeah.
You know, you have to work with other teachers to create something bigger and better and not be the best all the time.
I love that.
I think,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I think I will say that digital records of things to help us stay in communication, like, you know, you might think of something in the middle of the night. We have spreadsheets for our spreadsheets, you know. We have a year. Lindsay is our organizer. Mm-hmm. And we have an Excel sheet for each year with tabs for every ensemble and every event that we have. And so, you know, all the pieces are listed in rows, and if you think of something, it goes in the spreadsheet so we can talk about it later. Or to keep track of, you know, we do our lesson plans together in Canva. We share the lesson mm-hmm. plans, and then we can slide things around. Once everything we want to teach is in there, we can slide them around in a way that makes more sense and visually look at the lesson and say, which parts are you probably going to do and which parts am I probably going to do and what's the flow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to also add that, like she says, I'm the organizer. It's true. Like, there are certain things that I just take control of, and there are certain things Betsy just takes control of. And that's another thing to let go in co-teaching, right? Like, I love the gathering all the club forms and putting all their information in and making sure everyone is in the remind group and da 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 da. Betsy's over here just like creating some marvelous lesson that she's going to, you know, like,
yeah.
Or she's creating some process to teach a volumes piece that I could have never even imagined or thought of, you know. And that's kind of how we just, you know, work really well together. And like, I create too, and we both organize, but there are certain things that we've just both kind of let go. Like, you know what? That'll be handled and it's okay. It's not me.
Yeah. I would love for you guys. So like I said, I sat in your session at Arkansas Music Ed Association. God, that's such a long phrase. You know, the ARCMEA. There we go.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to share, because I thought it was so cool. I got to, seriously, what you guys are speaking about, see it implemented where one of you would teach the song, another one would talk about and then teach the dance, and another one, and then you'd go back to this person to do. So can you talk about a little bit, maybe, I mean, you don't want to share the entire lesson, that's fine, but talk about how decisions are made, and then also maybe give that example of what you, the session you did.
Oh, I should have pointed at me. That's not. Let's see. You know, for that session, we really thought about, and with our classes too, what's the big goal? What's the hook? And what are the scaffolding pieces to go into play there? What material do you have? What do I have? Do we want to teach it the same way? Does this build to this? Or is this really, do we need a brain break here? Have they not had enough movement? And so we'll shuffle those pieces around and then look at the whole and find where the gaps are and fill those in. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it was also to engage for less disruption by the class, that by the students. It was an engagement type of session where we shared different ways to pass out instruments, that we use different ways to transition kids. Also taught, I believe I taught, yeah, I taught Los Machetes, so in silence, you know, engagement strategies, which is something that I feel we are both really strong in now with teaching 55 plus kids at a time and having them excited to come into our music room, which is kind of like our main goal 6 years ago. So it was basically, you know, how we pass out instruments, how we teach things without having to reprimand. So Betsy, if you want to.
Building structures and routines together. There's a lot of conversation. Did that, how did that work? It's nice when you can let go of the stress of being watched all the time. To have someone seeing you all the time.
Right.
That side of it.
Yeah.
It's a constant observation with someone who knows what you're doing.
Right.
And when you can get to the point where you trust them to say, it was this, did you see this happen? You know, what went wrong there? I've taught this 6 times. Why didn't it go right today? Was it me? Was it the kids? Did I make eyes with the wrong kid? Did I belabor something too long? Did I miss a cue? And it's nice to have somebody else who can see it, knowing they're not judging and saying, well, if you'd noticed, they were bored. You know, it's not that kind of, but too antsy, and they didn't have the attention span. We needed to move quicker to, here's the spot where it went.
Yeah,
it's really nice to have somebody else in the room who can be the eyes that are impartial, because they're not feeling it the same way you do when you're teaching and you know you're losing it. And sometimes we've gotten to the point where it's like, and tag. So nice to have.
Yeah. And so as far as lessons from this session, I do remember teaching Los Machetes in silence, starting with body percussion warm up, leading straight into what that B section looks like. And then Betsy, you did something after, but I can't remember.
I know I did Chica Leza. I know I did.
And Drum Dream Girl.
Yes.
Drum Dream Girl. Yep.
And then, so I did the peas in the pea pod.
Yeah.
You did the peas in the pea pod.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it just flowed. And it was so cool to see. It was just like you said, a tag, you're it. It was like back and forth. Like you taught one thing and then she taught another, but it all flowed into each other so well. And it looked like it was like, oh, this makes sense. And it was so easy to follow. And I was just like, this is so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we are all day, every day now.
Love it.
Kind of awesome. Yeah.
Love it. So I, as you're talking, just the thought of having two teachers in the same classroom, have you seen classroom management? I'm not saying you ever had like major issues, but I don't know. Maybe you did, but you know, but classroom management, have you seen that improve having another body in the room to be able to kind of help with that aspect while the other one's teaching? I can just see that being such a huge win because, you know, when you're the only person and you're like redirecting kids while you're teaching, it's whew.
That's one of those that I was talking about earlier where you feel like you're stepping on toes because you never want to take attention away from the person who is leading the lesson. Right. And when we first began teaching, I had already been at the school a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And so she was new. So it was all the questions of where is so-and-so from the old teacher? And then also like I knew a lot of their names. So like she said, we're now in the sweet spot of we have had everyone. But that was for those interested in this, that was a big challenge. It's like, hey, when I'm teaching, could you not like do this, that, and the other? Hey, when I'm teaching, could you not do this? And now it doesn't matter. I could be sitting over here. I'm like, hey, you know, and Betsy just, you know, it's hard because you don't want to let the other person think they can't handle it because yeah. That's not the case. You know, it's right. It's not that at all. It's just, I want them to respect you. And so how you kind of go with it. But I feel like it's improved, but also our engagement strategies have improved, which has improved classroom management. And we strongly, strongly use positive reinforcement. So I think that those things are what really have changed our culture in our room. And Betsy, I don't know if you want to add on to that.
Yes. And also it's the benefit of co-teaching on that is wonderful because you can use that to elevate the positivity. You're not getting exhausted. You're not, you know, there's someone else to handle it immediately. You also don't have to put off an issue. So if someone is having a bad day and they really need the time to talk to somebody, if you are teaching the whole room, you don't always have time to pull that one child and say, was everything okay? Did you have a good morning? You know, how was your night last night? Those are conversations that you have time for now because there is another trusted adult in the room.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And like that helps with the building relationships. Like there are times I'm like, Betsy, I'm taking this kid in the hall and we just walk. Kids who maybe struggle with, they're not necessarily focused, but they're kind of getting others around them,
yes,
you know, to talk to them and things. Like I'm like, hey, I'm going to take him for a walk, or she'll say, hey, I'm going to go, you know, take this kid out, and we're going to, or I'll even say in the middle of class, like if I see a child crying, I'm like, please go talk to Miss Carter. Mm-hmm. And I have someone that can do that. And we still, like I said in the beginning, the time management is the biggest plus, I feel. Mm-hmm. We get so much done in class because there are two of us who can help with management, but also help with the teaching. And there are even times where I'm like, hey, we've got this program. I'm going to teach this dance, but not everybody wants to dance. So we'll give them a lot more choice. Hey, you want to learn this dance? I'm going to take you on the hallway. Miss Carter's going to do the instruments in here, and then we come back together, almost like an orb workshop. Honestly, that's kind of how our classes go at this point.
That's amazing. One thing you said too that I think is really good for any music teacher listening, whether you co-teach or not, is the engagement piece. Is when kids are engaged, it cuts down on classroom management, and that's something I do think takes time, and it definitely. Transitions are huge. And I always say that keep class time moving and it cuts down on the kids being able to distract each other. I love that. I love that piece you said so much. And you said choice. You can give choice to kids in your classroom as well, even if you're the only one in there. I think that's great. Maybe it's not every time, but it's, hey, do you want to do A or B today? Or we have time for one more activity at the end of class. Which one do you want to do? I think that's definitely getting buy-in from the kids is huge as well. So I love that you both touched on that. Yeah.
And I would also just recommend Canva to anyone. Like, yes. Canva slides has helped, or Google slides, whatever you use. Mm-hmm. And having one for each week, I'm telling you, because I know with how Betsy and I are, if something's tanking, I know when I click next, there is something there. There is going to, because like that's just how we are. We of course everyone like should over plan and make sure you have enough stuff. Yeah. And usually at the end of each week, we even maybe have like a read aloud just to be like, oh, I made it, you know, something. Yeah. When I click it, there is always something. So over planning helps with the engagement strategy as well.
Love it. That's great. So this has been an amazing conversation. Is there anything about co-teaching that maybe I didn't ask about, or you just want to offer up anything, any other advice around that we haven't talked about?
I think being excited that the other person has things you can learn from is the mindset to go in with. You know, when I watch Lindsay teach, I'm like, that's what you do right there. You know, it's so great to be with somebody who can inspire you and to look at them and copy it. Go ahead and take that thing they do great and try it six ways, six times, and see what it is that makes that work. And it's boosted my teaching. You know, being with somebody else who's motivated and excited, there's something you can learn from every teacher.
Absolutely.
I would say too, you've got to have an open mind to in order to see someone, and instead of compete with them, take what they're doing and make it your own and add to it. And like she said, boost your teaching. I also will say I am very fortunate to have Betsy, because she continues to say, where are we going in 5 years? Where are we going in 10 years? And I'm very much like, what? Like, we just did a program yesterday, Betsy. What are you talking? She's like, no, 5 years from now, what's it going to look like? And she has pushed me. And since then, like, and she's not just pushed me, she's also told me that I'm great. Hmm. Right. And hearing that from someone does a lot for people, even for your students. Betsy is so good at saying things like, y'all were so good as an audience the other day. I'm really proud of you. Whereas I necessarily would have just passed by that. You know, Betsy's really good at being like a really amazing cheerleader and inspiring people through her work and her words. And so having someone who will push you and remind you like, hey, we're not getting comfortable here. We're going to keep growing. We've got more to do. Instead of me, I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted. We just finished, you know. But now, like, you know, we're both AOSA certified levels teachers now, and I would not have even considered that without Betsy telling me that I was great and pushing me to do that. So having an open mind, but also not getting comfortable is really important. And one more thing, too. Betsy's always said to me, she goes, yes, you're a movement teacher, but you teach other things. So you're going to get up there, you know, and she keeps, you know, and I'm like, Betsy, yes, you're a levels teacher, but you're going to do, you know, like, and we, yeah. Betsy teaches dances in my room. I teach instruments, like basic stuff in our room. And like, you know, we just kind of push each other to make sure we don't lose our craft and don't get stuck in one thing. So not getting comfortable is important.
Love it. Oh, such good advice. Where can everybody connect with both of you after this episode airs?
Snowden orfmusic.com. We tell our kids together all the time. That's actually where you can find all of our videos. We send we actually make videos for teaching our students things too, so resources and all kinds of things, but our bios and our emails are there. So that's snowdenorfmusic.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you both so much, and I've loved this conversation, and I appreciate you both coming on today and having a discussion with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks.
All right, let me push stop.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.